Feeling like a turkey. There, it's turkey.
Well, now that I know it's a turkey, otherwise, what the hell is that noise problem?
All right, so here, well, here we go.
It comes across pretty shrieky.
Okay, welcome to the 215th episode of the Legion of Reason Diversion, coming to you live on YouTube. And what do we got today? Sean King, a noted activist, claims that whiteness protects against the terrorism label being applied. Ugh, I ran out of air. I've got one thing to say to that, Timothy McVeigh. Mic drop. Anyway, I don't want to drop my mic, it's expensive. In London, UK, commuters panic upon hearing Bible verses at a train platform. Smudging ceremonies in Regina public schools. They're getting ready to do that. Do we really need schools, you know, accommodating all religions, or should we just say screw it? The U.S. votes against a UN resolution which condemns the death penalty for blasphemy and homosexuality. And locally here, a candidate for Calgary school trustee in the upcoming civic elections blames the Edmonton terror attack on the LGBT community. Yeesh. Anti-choice conservative MP Rachel Harder fails to win her bid to chair the Status of Women House Committee. Yay. And in the Regressive Left Files, Bruce Gillies' controversial paper published in Third World Quarterly titled The Case for Colonialism has been withdrawn by the publisher Taylor and Francis due to threats of violence upon his person. Yeah. So we're now violence is becoming the, you can't call it the heckler's veto anymore. It's worse, right? It's the, yeah, the mob mentality. Just thugs. I hope they find out who it was and prosecute them. You know, that's serious. That's serious. This is not what we need in discourse. If you don't agree with it, say something, okay? But use, you know, your words.
Yeah.
And ideas.
That's unbelievable.
And ideas. Yeah. It's bad.
Well, I guess it's not terrible. Unbelievable. It seems to happen
today. A lot, yeah, it's totally believable. I mean, this is where social justice has gone. Well, it's gone from punching Nazis to let's punch out professors whose ideas we don't agree with.
Yeah.
It's just pathetic. But anyway, first one, I'm going to try a screen share here. Where's my screen share? I got to keep close to the mic, I guess. Screen share. I want to go.
I'm watching on YouTube as well.
Yeah. Okay. So you keep an eye out on the chat. Good.
Yeah.
Screen share. And,
do you have the banner or something for the call-in number?
Not yet. I don't want to take calls at the moment. But yeah, we will be taking calls. Yes, and you can either Skype us or use your phone. It's toll free. And also, there's the chat room if you don't like to hear the sound of your own voice. But if you do call in with Skype or with using a phone, make sure you turn down the volume of the stream, because you'll be really confused if you don't. Okay, so the first thing we got, it was that whole thing with, let's see if I can find it here. Come on, where are you? Online. Nope, that's different.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the article by Sean King. Because I want to start with that.
I've called everything up, so I can probably send you the link in a moment here.
No, I've got it up. I just have to actually figure out which one it is. Like, I have like 30 windows open or something.
I know.
Here it is. Here it is. Yeah. The Intercept by Sean King. And this
Here,
you know, what happened in Las Vegas, of course, this happened actually while we were recording the podcast last weekend. And was it last weekend? No, it was the weekend before.
Yes.
Right? Was it last? Yeah, it was last weekend.
No, it was last weekend. Yeah.
Temporal disorder. it's a terrible incident, and, you know, but I've lost complete confidence that the U.S. is ever going to be ready to do anything about the gun culture that is America. And yeah, I just don't see it. If it hasn't happened by now with so many mass murders, this is just one more.
I don't know. Like, wasn't it reported that the NRA was even saying, okay, maybe we need to do some
members, you know, but not the top.
Oh, okay.
No, no, maybe some members did.
Okay.
Yeah. There were some some members who were very upset about this. But
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. There we go.
You know, I obviously live in Canada, so I have a different perspective of guns. We don't have the, you know, amendment or whatever to,
Yeah, we don't have, it's a...
To
join a militia. Yeah.
But, you know, like, we do have guns here. We have control of them.
Yes, yes. Well, Canada has gun control.
So there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
You could still own a rifle, just have to, you know, be properly registered and...
Stored. You have to store it properly.
And store it properly, yeah. Handguns, there's only one purpose for a handgun. That's to kill somebody else. You can still own handguns. It's just that it's very stringent. You can't have those have to be put in a vault.
Yeah. Or kept. I think the rifles do too, if I'm not mistaken.
They have to be locked up. I don't know about a vault, but
okay.
It's
because my dad's got someone. He bought something from Canadian Tire or whatever, some kind of thing to lock them up, basically.
Yeah, I don't want to go down the road of talking about gun control because that's.
I do hope something changes, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't expect there to be any change. If it hasn't happened by now, it won't happen. But anyway, this guy, Sean King. This guy, Sean King, wrote a, I don't know, it's called The Intercept. I have no idea what that is. But it's some kind of a, it looks like almost like a blog. But anyway.
That's a media outlet of some sort.
Is it? Yeah. He has a fair bit of association with Black Lives Matter, for instance. He does a lot of activism.
I looked at the bio and I think he's like a host on the Young Turks and a bunch of stuff like that.
Oh, right? I wouldn't know. I don't watch them.
No, I don't watch them anymore.
I couldn't. I used to a long time ago, and it had just gotten crazy. They've gone beyond
the
left.
The Sam Harris thing was what did it for me.
Oh, I think before that I...
it was getting pretty sketchy then, but that was like, I'm done with this.
I couldn't take it. Yeah. You know, there's only so much exposure to ideas that I don't agree with that I can take. And you know, that's why I don't watch Steve Shives like some people. I don't know how you do it.
Because
I don't know how
such
you do
a
it.
Shit, huh?
I don't know how you do it. I'd be trying to reach through this screen and throttle him.
Well, first of all, you have to set it on like 1.5 speed or something so you can get through it faster. And like, it's hate watching, right? It's not like I'm hanging on his every word and believing. It's like, oh my, like the way he talked about Seth was unbelievable.
Oh, no kidding. And he considered Seth a friend. Imagine what he does to his enemies.
Yeah, and Seth had him on his podcast.
Yeah, he did, and then he got a lot
Seth
of flack.
Was like, why is everybody hating on him so much? Right, like
Seth didn't understand it. He didn't know that the community out there thinks Steve Shives is really an awful person. He's not a humanist, that's for sure.
No,
he's expressed his ill will on doing nothing should some his enemies come to harm. That's not humanism. That's I don't know what it is, but that's Shives.
It's hate.
Yeah, it's hate. He is very much. I mean, I get pissed off, and sure, but I'm no Steve Shives. So I mean,
it's I don't know how to put it. Like it's like it's personal against him or something, right? And so rather than being able to respond objectively because it's about a topic and not about you, right?
Yeah.
You have to wrap yourself all up in it, and I don't know to what end, but I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know how we got talking about Steve Shives.
Issues and stuff that we become personally invested in, but I don't know. I mean, the people that he calls out are. They're They're just not as awful as he says they are, that's for sure. And
oh, well, he mischaracterizes. Yeah. It's like Dan Errol. He completely mischaracterizes the things that people like Sam Harris say. Anyway, let's get away from Steve Shives. I don't want to talk about him. I don't know why I brought him up.
Fair enough, yeah.
But we're with Sean.
Well, you accused me of watching.
Oh, yeah, that's why, so. Yeah. And then you accused me of bringing up Everyday Feminist articles.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, reason not to block you.
Some of them are just, it just amazes me that these people don't understand. They're lacking in self-awareness that they rail against racists and sexists, and they're the worst of both. So it's amazing. It'd be funny if it wasn't so harmful. Anyway, this is back to Sean King. This is this article he wrote called White Privilege of the Lone Wolf Shooter. Here's the only part you need to read. What we are witnessing is the blatant fact that white privilege protects even Stephen Paddock, an alleged mass murderer, not just from being called a terrorist, but from the anger, rage, hellfire, and fury that would surely rain down if he were almost anyone other than a white man. Really? Eesh. Are you saying something, Christine? I can't hear you. I think I lost Christine. I think she blew up. Oh, there you go.
Can you hear me now?
Now okay. I can hear you. Yeah.
You can hear me.
Yeah.
Okay. That's... The underlying premise is that the guy wouldn't have been punished if he hadn't, you know, died, killed himself, whatever, right?
Yeah,
And that's just not true. And the anger, rage, hellfire, and fury, of course it rained down.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And unless we can say it was politically motivated, he's not a terrorist. He's a, mass murderer is the right term for it.
Yep. Yep. Timothy McVeigh.
Somebody in Nevada said that their definition's a bit different, but this guy's reporting, you know, in an international forum. And I don't think that it would be, if it was a local reporter reporting in Nevada to call that person a terrorist, legally would, be the correct thing, but I think part of it is a political or ideological motive behind.
Yeah, I understand
attacks.
That Nevada law says basically just the attempt of mass murder. This is a really non-standard definition of terrorism that Nevada law is calling. I've never heard anybody describe terrorism without the political motivation being front and center. So any social scientist will always say, let's wait and hear about what the motivation is. I'm still waiting for that. I don't think we know that yet, but it's quite unlikely
Never. Yeah.
So the reason we don't call him a terrorist is because he wasn't a terrorist.
Yeah.
It's simple as that.
I wonder if he had some kind of I don't know, brain tumor or something like that. And I was saying that to Mom. I'm like, you know, when they do the autopsy, and my mom's like, I think he kind of blew his head off. So oh, yes, I hadn't thought of that, you know.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. They've not revealed anything of that nature. But the whiteness of somebody does not stop us from calling a person a terrorist if they commit a terrorist act. And I will present as Exhibit A, Timothy McVeigh. And the whole hellfire, rage, and anger came down on him. He was executed.
Yeah.
What protection did his white skin offer him? Nothing.
Yeah.
So this is just a racist rant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, it's just, hey, anyway. I don't know.
He says here, I spoke to two people this morning, one black and the other Muslim. Both of them said when they heard about this awful shooting in Las Vegas, they immediately began hoping that the shooter was not black or Muslim.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry, when it comes to an attack like that, before you know that it's, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of terrorist attacks around the world. I'm not going to say that my first thought was black people. That's for sure. But, you know, like mass shootings and stuff like that. A terrorist attack. Yeah, I kind of thought it might be
maybe.
Muslim. Yeah.
Maybe.
Sorry, but. And every time I hope, oh, my goodness, I hope it's not. But very often it is. What they call the new normal now, I suppose, right?
Yeah, definitely. I understand the reticence of people, or not the reticence, but their fear of being associated by their demographic with acts of terror.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. I understand that.
And they shouldn't be. You know, when somebody, that man shouldn't be equated with all white men. And a Muslim who performs a terrorist attack shouldn't be equated with all Muslims. Everybody knows that. It's just, oh my God, the ignorance and the lack of nuance is stunning.
Well, you know,
he's doing the same thing as people who lump all Muslims as terrorists. He's doing exactly the same thing.
That this is a country that the lowest common denominator mistakes a Sikh as a Muslim person.
Yeah.
Particularly men, yeah. Because they wear, you know, the turban, which has nothing to do with Islam. But, yeah.
Well, apparently they do in some regions. They do wear turbans. Muslims do wear turbans.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
well, maybe right? in northern India or something. Hmm? Maybe in northern India.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, slightly different ways like of the, you know, wrapping them or whatever, right? But, what are they called? Mean, typically it's pretty obvious when a person is a Sikh.
Yeah, for us, because, well, we're exposed to them, at least in the.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
You know.
Lovely
well,
people.
Now there's a leader of a political party in Canada who's a turban wearer. So.
Yeah.
Step up. Yeah. That's all I got to say about that. I was just really angry. I mean, I wrote a pretty good long screed.
It's just silly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Every time I think, oh, you know, when they start bashing white males, I think, you know, my dad's a white male. You're a white male. You're my friends. I have lots of friends who are, you know, white males. And
everybody does it. Just an old white man. I'm like, hey, hey, excuse me. These are my friends. They're doing this. And it's like, thanks a lot.
I don't know.
Don't do that. It's identity politics. Stop.
Yeah.
What do we got? What else have we got? Okay, that's great. I'm going to move this. There we go. I'm getting tired of the mic being too far to the left. No pun intended. I just realized what I said. I'm like, even my mic's against me.
Yeah.
what else we got? Actually, you know, we could open up the phone lines too. I'm going to put what the hell?
Yeah.
Where's this? See, okay. So you can either use Skype. Nobody watching. You can either use Skype. Our handle is Legion of Reason. Or you can call 1-587. Okay. This, it disappeared on me. Okay. 1-587-288-1067. Yes. So that's toll free, by the way. So anywhere. As far as I know, anywhere in the world.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They told me to drop the 1 because it was a local call for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's makes sense. 587 is a local one, but it's through Skype somehow. The magic of Skype.
Okay. Yeah.
So if anybody wants to call, they can do so.
Yeah.
What else we got? What else did I say we had?
Hang on here. The case for colonialism. I'm just going according to the tabs I've got open here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the case for colonialism.
You want to go to the case for colonialism? The case for colonialism. I haven't read the paper yet. I really want to read the paper. I just didn't have time today.
I read the like abstract or whatever.
Yeah, okay. I have to do the music.
The regressive left files.
Okay. Oh, that's better.
Oh, I should save that for the end now that I think of it. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We can go on to the case for colonialism Bruce Gilley wrote, he was a professor of, I believe, political science at at Portland University.
Here, do you want the link to the paper and you can show it?
Oh, yeah, sure. I know somebody put a link up to the PDF, and thank you very much for that, by the way. That was,
like you said, Streisand effect.
Let's see. Did you post it in okay.
The Google Hangout
chat. I'll have to find it. I didn't go there.
Okay.
Just a second. I'll look for it. I'll look for it. Editing time.
I'm going to put it on YouTube too.
Where is it? Gosh darn it.
Nope, it doesn't let me do that.
Oh, damn it. Come on. Come on. Find it. Okay, here's the... And there it is. Okay, so I will be able to share the screen. Case for colonialism. I think I'll just read the abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you silly thing. Actually, why don't you read the abstract? It's taking too long on my... Oh, now it's come.
Okay. For the last 100 years, Western colonialism has had a bad name. It is high time to question this orthodoxy. Western colonialism was, as a general rule, both objectively beneficial and subjectively legitimate in most of the places where it was found, using realistic measures of those concepts. The countries that embraced their colonial inheritance, by and large, did better than those that spurned it. Anti-colonial ideology imposed grave harms on subject peoples and continues to thwart sustained development in a fruitful encounter with modernity in many places. Colonialism can be recovered by weak and fragile states today in three ways: by reclaiming colonial modes of governance, by recolonizing some areas, and by creating new Western colonies from scratch. So that's the abstract.
Hmm. Yeah. I think that the on the whole, colonialism has been bad. That, you know, like we can talk about the massacres of the people in the regions that were colonized. But that... To say that it was all bad, 100%, no. Things like modern agriculture techniques, that's how they were introduced into these regions. And, you know, it's dogmatic to say it was completely bad and there was nothing good about it. I mean, people are saying that science is colonial. And I'm like, well, so what? It works. It works. Get over it.
And it's, you know, helped a lot of people.
Yeah, and science. Yeah, you know, some extended more modern, lives, you know, more,
you know, save lives.
Reliable things like medicine. I mean, that was brought in to areas of colonialism.
So
what happened with this with Bruce Gilley was he received threats from an unknown source, as far as we know. And forced a retraction. And let's go to the, see if I can find it in the Facebook page. Here it is. The case for colonialism. Come on. Okay. It's a withdrawal notice. And this viewpoint essay has been withdrawn at the request of the academic journal editor and in agreement with the author of the essay. Following a number of complaints, Taylor and Francis conducted a thorough investigation into the peer review process on this article. Now, we should go back, step back a little bit, because when this paper was published, 15 of the editors resigned in protest because they thought they had evidence that the reviewers had actually rejected it. Turned out that's
I'm
not
sorry,
the
case. I missed what you said. You sound a little bit underwater there.
They said that they had found evidence that the reviewing reviewers had rejected it, and it still got published. That was not the case. And Dollars to Donuts, this person, well, might be more than one person, who made the threat, didn't read the paper at all anyway.
Oh, probably not. Yeah.
You know, whilst I'll go on here. Whilst this clearly demonstrated the essay had undergone double-blind peer review in line with the journal's editorial policy, the journal editor has subsequently received serious and credible threats of personal violence. These threats are linked to the publication of this essay. As the publisher, we must take this seriously. Taylor and Francis has a strong and supportive duty of care to all our academic editorial teams, and this is why we are withdrawing this essay.
Bullied into withdrawing.
Yeah, this is my problem with it. Yeah, it's totally.
Yeah,
totally.
They would be fine with. Obviously, they disagree with the withdrawal. Like, I think the way they've worded it.
Yeah.
It's like, we have to do this because we're being, you know, getting death threats. That's, yeah. But because people don't like words. There's some words, you know.
Yeah, exactly. An opinion that was different than mine. And I go violent. Well, that's my problem.
Read the paper and write your rebuttal.
Yeah, exactly.
And submit it for peer review just like everybody else does, you know.
Well, almost everybody else
does. But, you know, in that realm, that's what you do. You don't threaten violence.
Yeah, this is really, this isn't the heckler's veto anymore. This is the petty thug veto. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that will let this slide because they happen to agree with the petty thug. So, you know, in their point of view. The problem with that is, well, one day they're going to come for you.
Well, like the Hypatia article or whatever,
the
paper that was. I mean, I think they eventually republished it, didn't they?
I don't know. I hadn't followed.
Yeah, but, you know, under the public pressure.
This is the wrong action to take, I think.
I shouldn't say public pressure because it was other academics that were attacking her a lot.
Yes, it was. It was a long list of signatories to the letter to the journal.
Yeah.
And they were academic signatories. And they're in predictable fields like, you know, gender studies and, you know, where dogma seems to be, you know, it's not teaching ideas, it's teaching dogma.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong. Antithetical to university.
If you teach it correctly.
Sure.
It's an interesting thought experiment, right?
Exactly. That's the whole point.
To think of things from a different perspective, but enacting it in real life and threatening people with death as a consequence of those kinds of beliefs is just off the fucking charts.
Was it Aristotle who said that the mark of intelligence is the ability to examine an idea without agreeing with that idea?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is not a very intelligent person.
Yeah.
So they were bullied into this, and Bruce Gilley has withdrawn his membership with the Political Science Association. There's an association, academic association.
And
basically because of their inability to debate ideas.
Yeah.
What is going on? And it just blows my mind.
I know, it's scary.
This is supposed to be academia, where you dispassionately
fired.
I know. I don't know. I don't know if he's on a tenure track position or what.
Who knows, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, what's next on our plate?
Let's see here. A victory for Canadian women. Anti-abortion MP rejected as head of status of women committee.
Oh, yeah. Now, so you'll remember that we had a... Let me just share the screen here for a second. Boops. Share for everyone. There we go. We talked last time about the Liberals and the NDP walking out of the House Committee for Status of Women, and because this Rachel Harder, who is an anti-choice MP, that was the Conservatives, who the Conservatives put forward as their nominee for the position of chair. And I like I said, I didn't agree with it at the time. It's moot. She was not voted in. So I guess in a way, if you know you're going to vote them out and not vote for them, and you have the majority of the votes, yeah, you want. I mean, you might want to make that stand right away. Like, so maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I'm not a political animal. But anyway, she lost the election for that position. I don't know who actually got the chair in the end. I don't think this.
Yeah, really.
So
yeah.
I have no idea. Let's see. Yeah, it doesn't say where in anywhere in this article. I don't think. Tells you who lost, but doesn't tell you who won. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Shall we Google it?
Yeah, go ahead. Google it.
Okay. All righty.
I'll just check the chat room. Dustin Dark was commenting on the colonialism. There he gives a few examples like literacy, plumbing, philosophy, sciences. Yeah, and there is a decent case to be made that there was significant positive results along with the tragedy of colonialism. Positive results that continue on. Yeah, they do continue on. Okay. And the hope that the idea is to fix the things that colonialism did that were really bad. If you can, I mean, it's kind of hard. Some of the massacres of First Nations peoples, for instance, that's kind of hard to fix. I mean, it that history hurts.
I think it says here the last committee meeting was on October 3rd. So I imagine they haven't nominated somebody in, I suppose, yet.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's
right. The women committee I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I jumped backwards.
Well, actually, I jumped backwards. you came back to the present. So that's all we got to say about that, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just chalk it up to conservatives. They are always anti-choice. I mean, it's almost across the board. It's been a long time since Joe Clark. Joe Clark was the last one that I can think of that was pro-choice.
I mean, in my general circle of people, I know conservatives.
I'm talking big C conservative. I'm talking about the MPs.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like a lot of the Saskatchewan.
I don't think they really reflect. I know quite a few conservatives, and they're fiscal conservatives, and not, you know.
Oh, fiscal conservatism has nothing to do with big C conservatism. Nothing.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. They don't really represent.
Yeah.
You know, the Canadian populace, I think, except for the, I guess, more extreme.
Yeah, I'm not a fiscal conservative. I believe in spending where you need it. And the times that you need to spend are the times where the economic downturns happen. When you've got a lot of money. Yeah. I'm very much against balanced budget legislation. Very against it. That's handcuffing the money supply. It's crazy. It's insanity.
Yeah. True. Yeah. As long as it's being spent on things that actually benefit society.
Well, I hope so.
As opposed to your warmongering and shit like that, right?
Not like the Saskatchewan conservatives before they disappeared because of what happened in the Divine government. There were at least a dozen MPs imprisoned because of fiscal malfeasance while they were not in the government.
Yeah.
And so the Conservative Party completely disbanded after that. Of course, it just transformed. It didn't really disband. It changed it. They created a new Conservative Party called the Saskatchewan Party, which is
rebranded.
It was rebranded. Yeah. And Brad Wall is now stepping down as premier.
No more. Hopefully, to his Christmas message.
Yeah, I was just going to say, hopefully, there's going to be no more of those Christmas Jesus messages on the public dime. Which So
speaking of irresponsible spending.
Well, that's the thing. Conservatives have put up the highest deficits. They're way worse than central. Even NDP in Saskatchewan, they were balancing the budget. They balanced the budget in Saskatchewan before Alberta did. After the Devine years, the NDP was in power for a while, and they balanced the book and got, despite Alberta having huge oil revenues, and they got really greedy with that too, right? The royalties just got too much, and it hurt oil exploration here in Alberta. And now, we've lost the one pipeline that was supposed to go east.
Yeah.
And it's not a good idea, because now it's got to go by train. Uh-huh. It's not the smartest thing. If you were looking for safety, trains are the worst. It's the worst way to transport
oil. Environmentally. An oil spill.
Yeah, oil spills. Trains are terrible. And worse, they go through populated areas.
Yeah.
I mean, Lac Mégantic, that disaster, killed 140 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just politicians.
Yeah, and you can't transform, a system that's dependent on, petroleum products overnight.
No,
you have
no
to
kidding.
Rebuild it,
Yeah.
Or change it, you can't just do it overnight.
Nope.
Yeah. So people that this is better for the environment given the conditions that we currently face and the demands that are currently, there.
Mm-hmm.
And take the safer route, clearly.
Okay, I gotta get this back up. I wonder if there might be audio in this too. This one, I'm going to go over to the Calgary school trustee. this woman. Let's play the video here. I'm gonna share the screen again. We'll just play the video. So it'll be interesting. I wonder what she's got to say about this. Come on. I got using up a fair bit of bandwidth here. Come on.
Yeah.
Dun, dun. Okay, this is not going to happen. Oh, no, now it's loading.
I am transgender, which means I was assigned female at birth, but I have been a boy all along. I just didn't know how to tell anyone that until I was 14 years old.
It takes a lot of courage to be in high school and to publicly come out as the gender they identify with.
When I finally let myself say, I'm a boy, just felt like a snug old jacket that you never really seem to grow out of.
Their bravery is often celebrated by their peers, and many say they wouldn't have had the strength without support in their schools. So when someone running to represent them is condemning them, it's a concerning realization.
I was shocked and scared, really scared that someone would make those connections. To put the blame on our community it's like, how could this be our fault?
This is the social media post that has compelled many to react. The author of the statement is a woman who is running for school board trustee in wards 12 and 14.
You really want people to go to the ballots because they're inspired and they want to be a part of something great. But we know that sometimes the hate does motivate. But I will say very clearly that there is no role for hate in the role of trustee. We accept everybody in public education.
Many who reject Karen Draper's remarks hope this motivates voters to get more engaged and learn about the candidates.
as much as we may dislike those opinions, as much as we might be offended by those positions, they exist and they're here and they're feeling emboldened enough to run for political office. And so if anything, this is a call and a red flag to citizens to get engaged. These people have a right to run. They have a right to have their opinions. What we have to do as citizens is decide whether or not we think that they should represent us as citizens. And that means getting out to vote.
We reached out to Karen Draper, but she has not responded to our requests for an interview. She did post a follow-up comment in an effort to validate and justify her comments, sparking even more outrage. Jill Croteau, Global News.
And she's done.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know.
Yeah. Get out of there. All right. Yeah, that's...
I'm surprised she hasn't withdrawn already, frankly.
I rank this right up there with... Okay, so let's just step back for a second and say, okay, that was the motivation. Does that make it the LGBT community's fault? Like, I don't think so. It's like
that
blame...
That is the stupidest connection. Like, what is she trying to say? That the guy was gay, or what?
No, that's it, because Well, Islam doesn't like homosexuality very much, right?
Well, that's got nothing whatsoever to... What the hell
I'm just reaching, grasping at straws here, you know? I have no idea what went through her mind. But
yeah.
Let's just say that she's totally right. This is like blaming the Charlie Hebdo publishers for somebody, a couple of people coming into their offices and shooting them just over some cartoons. Which is what happened, right? There were people out there that were saying, oh, it was their fault because they upset Muslims. Like, what? No.
Ridiculous.
It's not their fault.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's crazy to do that. That's the worst sort of victim blame.
I mean, you could just say, hey, all the Western society is at fault because they offend Muslims every day. You know? Okay, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Let's look at a happy story here. I don't think this one was in the list, but anyway, I'm going to share the screen again. Remember that Iranian? It was the Americans that were complaining about having to compete in hijab in Iran, right, in chess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this is from Iran Focus. I've never heard of them before, but it's interesting. Anyway, Iran loses female chess champ to the U.S. over bad hijab rules. Bad hijab is in quotation marks. This young woman who's very, very adept at chess,
okay.
Dorsa Derakhshani. And she refused to wear the hijab, and all Iranian women have been forced to wear this in when they're competing, even, I guess, elsewhere. Is that right?
Wow. I don't know about elsewhere. I'm not sure. Because one was held in Iran. I really hadn't heard about this until the last one.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's amazing that the chess organization capitulates to that. I mean, my goodness.
That's unbelievable.
You don't reward a country for, you know, that is clearly has misogynistic laws with something like this, having a chess championship.
Hold it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention that the players themselves are not going to feel very comfortable about wearing one of these things. I mean,
no kidding.
Yeah, it's awful. It's all in the name of tolerance.
Well, that was a happy story.
she quit the Iranian team and became American.
Yeah.
So that's is a happy story.
Yeah.
She refused to wear the hijab. So on Monday, the semi-official Iranian news agency reported that Derek Shani, who won the titles of Woman Grandmaster and International Master in 2016, has joined the U.S. national chess team instead.
So yeah, good for her. She'll be a great asset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder why.
Do you mind if we take. Can we take like a 5-minute break?
No, it's dead air if you do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I don't want dead air. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Let's see. What else we got with this? Oh, yeah. We got to go to the UN thing. There was a motion. I think it's in this. Yeah. This is from the United Nations. There was a Human Rights Council resolution which condemned the imposition of the death penalty as a sanction for specific forms of conduct such as apostasy, blasphemy, adultery, and consensual same-sex relations. It attacked the use of execution against persons with mental or intellectual disabilities, persons below 18 years of age at the time of the commission of the crime, and pregnant women. Oh, wow. There's that vag privilege again.
No, it's fetus privilege or something.
Fetus privilege, yeah. I suppose it is in this case, yeah.
No, it's nice to kill women who are pregnant. That's not cool.
Yeah. Not cool, yeah, that's one way to put it. So the United States failed, they voted against this. Now, I've queued this up so that we can actually hear this. This is the United States' reaction. Yeah, they had a statement. There is a reason why they voted against it, but I'll just play it.
We voted against that resolution because of broader concerns with the resolution's approach in condemning the death penalty in all circumstances, and it called for the abolition of the death penalty altogether. We had hoped for a balanced and inclusive resolution that would better reflect the positions of states that continue to apply the death penalty lawfully, as the United States does. The United States unequivocally condemns the application of the death penalty for conduct such as homosexuality, blasphemy, adultery, and apostasy. We do not consider such conduct appropriate for criminalization. Okay? I hope that's clear.
Okay, so that's the reason why they voted against it, because it was a resolution that was criticized all situations in which the death penalty is used. I mean, they just want to get rid of it. I actually happen to think that we should get rid of the death penalty. It shouldn't be anywhere. But
me too, especially in like what country was supplying the drugs to kill, the death penalty, whatever, the injection or whatever that they. And they refuse to on the basis of, you know, human rights. And so now we've got a situation where they're experimenting essentially with drugs and they're not working like they should.
Yeah.
So this is like really cruel and inhumane.
Yeah, there was a company in the United States that found out that their drug was being used to kill people. And they said, no.
I think it was Denmark or something, wasn't it?
Well, there was an American company that was – they didn't know it was using it.
And, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, but the problem is that I don't know if this part of the clip, I didn't play the whole thing, but this part of the clip was talking about lawful use of the death penalty. And I'm like, well, death penalty for apostasy or blasphemy, those are lawful too, right? They're laws. Yeah. So it kind of, you know, is it? Where do you draw the line? I think the only place you can. I mean, I know there's a visceral kind of satisfaction when somebody who murders a bunch of people brutally is given the death sentence. But we're better than that, right? Just leave the visceral satisfaction out of it, and you realize there's no reason for a death penalty.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It might feel good, and believe me. I'm not crying tears for people who are, who have committed heinous crimes and are given a lethal injection. But I think the state shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
It's a violation. I mean, we worried about prisoners having their rights violated, and yet the ultimate right, which is the right to life, has being taken away from them? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, as much as it feels good.
Yeah. Well, when I first heard the, UN thing, I thought it was just about homosexuality, like, apostasy and whatever.
It was more of a general.
Okay, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then I started to think, like, they've got the death penalty down there, so they would defend that by voting against it. Hey, so yeah, I mean, it's the United Nations. Like, let's agree that the death penalty is a bad thing all around. You know,
of course it is. Yeah, it's not something that we should be doing.
Look at who was on the side of pro death penalty versus those that were against it. It was
Beach Price is back on the chat. Hey, Beach.
He
liked the story about the chess playing, the chess player one. Yeah, it's a happy story. It's one of the few. we usually put stories on here that we get, I get really pissed off about. That motivates me to action. Action as this is, but I try to raise awareness of the effects of religion or the cult of social justice, for that matter, which has become something else. What else we got? What else have I got up here? I got a whole bunch of other stuff that, like, Scientology is opening up a new office in downtown Guelph. And there's an online, an online group. They're planning to stand against Scientology, whatever that means. it's kind of funny. It was a cartoon I saw that religions that are older, like Christianity or Islam, they're treated with respect and reverence, but those same people will think that these new religions like Scientology or Mormonism is nuts. The difference? The difference is purely on the length of time they've been around. It makes no sense. And so why not also, somebody made the point on the Facebook page, why only this religion? Yeah. This one's kind of pernicious.
It's interesting
though,
that there's, biblical scholarship and blah, blah, blah. People that want to either support or deny the claims of the Bibles, like, even within our Richard Carrier and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So there's a debate there. But when the history is so freaking clear and everybody knows it, right?
Yeah.
It's not like we have to, try to dig up archaeology to find the origins of, Mormonism or Scientology. It's right there in our face. Right.
Well, they've been putting out those
a lot of them.
TV shows on the Learning Channel, with the archaeology of stuff that tries to prove Mormonism. It made me feel like the Learning Channel has been bought out by the Mormons.
Oh, my goodness.
It was weird. It's Scientology is particularly pernicious. It preys. Like, it makes, those preachers that demand you to send money, it puts them to shame. I mean, they're horrible.
Well,
if you ever read Lawrence Wright's book, Going Clear, it's a fantastic book, and he's a great journalist, and he just presented his investigations into Scientology, its origins, and he lets you be the judge. Of course, there's no way to put Scientology in a good light. it's so bizarre. People, the FBI, or I think it was, raided a place, and they found a whole bunch of people in the basement that they weren't locked in, but they were told to stay there. And they were, it was just filthy, and it was punishment, apparently. And it was a Scientology house, and they said, had to figure out what to do with them. They said, well, they're not being held there against the will, and we just leave. there's nothing they can do. These people were, you know, they were in the house and they could have walked out. Of course, they'd be, what do they call it in Scientology? The shunning, it's a dis, oh, I can't remember the word. Dis something. Disfellowship? Okay, no, yeah. Disfellowship? No, that's not it.
Disfellowship or something?
No, I think that's Jehovah's Witnesses. That's disfellowship. There's a term for it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, in Scientology, it's kind of a weird one. Yeah, Scientology hasn't really been in the news that much. I think they've really taken some hits.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
And they've done some weird stuff, like, you know, Operation Snow White. They raided, they broke into the Internal Revenue Service offices to find out what, that's pretty brazen. I mean, the IRS doesn't screw around. Anyway, they've threatened litigation, and that's just what they do, is they make use of litigation to force the government to do what they want. In this case, they wanted to get tax-free status.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, did you see my story. Message? No, I didn't actually, no.
Check it out.
Disconnection, is that what it is, Peach? I can't remember what it is. It doesn't sound right.
I really need 2 minutes.
Okay, so I'll just talk.
Okay. Chat with the chat room
or somebody give me a damn phone call. Be the first call.
Yeah, really.
I actually pay for this.
You're right back.
I suspect a potty break. I guess the wine went through right through this time. Oh well. I can bring up this woman here. This woman is people in Australia, listeners in Australia, you'll recognize this woman. She's the Australian version of Linda Sarsour, Yasmin Abdel-Majid. This was what she said after the Vegas shooting. She said, where is it? Here we go. Well, this is one thing she said. It would be taking representatives of white men to task on TV, radio, and print, asking why they don't apologize for actions of white men. Okay. If we treat white men like brown Muslims, news wouldn't be talk of gun laws. It would be pundits asking what makes white men so violent. Well, actually, we're not that violent. We're no more violent than any other group. I'll see if I can find it. Oh, yeah. There's an article in Kiet. I love this website. Kiet is fantastic. And it looked at the, I'm just going to share this now. It looked at whether or not that was actually true that white men in particular, of course, because there are very few mass murdering white women or women in general. Is it prevalently white? And the answer is no. They give a good definition of terrorism in here, by the way. The use or endorsement of violence. The pursuit of political goals, which of course is paramount when we're talking about terror, and the aim of spreading fear among the target population to get them to do what you want to do. All right. But if he looked at the author looked at the statistics of mass murdering, and what the racial demographics were. And it turned out whites were no more or less. The population demographics were the same as. So there's no. What's interesting, though, and I'd love to know the answer to this, is that white men are, in fact, by far overrepresented in. Sociopathic, what's the word I'm looking for? Serial killers. That's predominantly white, almost all. There's been like one, maybe one black serial killer that we know of, very, very few women. But in terms of mass shootings, though, it's pretty much exactly the numbers you would expect from the population demographics. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't read that article yet.
Yeah, it's really quite good. It goes through the whole thing. There's no mention of the Sean King thing in this article, but
okay.
Yeah, it's just a really good read. I really liked it. And well, of course, it could be spoon feeding me a bunch of bullshit, but I like Quillette. It's a really good website for free thinkers, and it doesn't kowtow to adherence to some kind of dogma that I just can't stand. Good. So
is that basically run by Majid Nawaz? Is that
no? I don't know who. Well, the founder is a woman, and I can't remember her name. I saw an interview with her.
Because that's the name of his foundation too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he's definitely one of the big names that's involved with Quillette.
Yeah.
What else have I got here? What's this? Oh, that's the Scientology story. I love this one, though. Wimbledon station commuters flee train in Bible panic.
Oh, I thought that was so hilarious.
That's just like, he's not reading from the Quran, right? So
I don't know.
I don't understand it. How do you get that worked up over somebody reading Bible verses? Because I don't know. Maybe they were just.
Commuters became scared when the man also began saying, "Death is not the end," a passenger said. Oh, rail power lines were cut as passengers self-evacuated, in quotes, police
they
said.
Self-evacuated?
Some people just fled from the, you know, preacher.
Or they shit their pants. That's the other meaning for the word evacuate, is to shit your pants. So I'm just like, when you said that, I'm like, what? They what? They self-evacuated. Oh, that's a double entendre, I'm sure.
Well, it's in quotes. You know, it just means people fled from the crazy preacher, right? You know.
Well, that's maybe why it's in quotes. That may be why it's in quotes, because it is a double entendre. Yeah, I don't understand this. I mean, I've heard a one plane where a passenger prayed in the aisle and everybody freaked out. could you imagine that? I mean, dude, pray quiet.
Yeah.
But you got to understand the modern optics of that aren't too good. And yeah,
no, that's true.
Yeah, they're gonna jump you, man. They're gonna jump you, and just,
I can't say I blame them though. Like, if some,
no,
you know, preacher, I want to run like hell too. But usually, you just point and laugh, right? Like, you know, or just ignore them. Or
I love the self evacuated. That's just too funny.
Ian, who was on the train, said the man's Bible reading led to quote commotion and quote crush. Oh, he said someone, hang on, oh, that was my screen. He said someone then asked the man to stop speaking as he was scaring people, and the guy stopped and stood there with his head down. Aw, like, I feel bad for the poor guy. Oh my god, can you imagine like spewing your religious nonsense and people just all of a sudden start like, That is an overreaction for sure.
Yeah.
It is funny, though.
What else have I got?
The smudging thing.
Oh, the smudging thing. Yeah. This is from the Regina Leader Post. I'm going to put that up again. All right. And I'll present it. So Regina Public School Division makes way for smudging in schools. Now, smudging is a religious ceremony of First Nations, where they burn some sage and According to them, a sage is a multi-purpose medicine and one of four on a tray before him. Okay, so yeah, they burn the sage and then they use the ashes, and it's kind of like Ash Wednesday, I guess.
Yeah, they chase away the evil spirits or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Cleanse themselves of evil.
Yes, it says the guy said that they use sage in a way of protecting your spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. I have a problem with any religious accommodation at a school.
Me too.
Schools are not in the business of supplying space or time. But, you know, can you imagine churches? Basically, you're creating a church within your school.
Yeah.
Regardless of that, it's just for prayer or whatever. This should be hands off religion.
Yeah, it's a religious ceremony.
Yeah.
You let one in, you have to let them all in.
Yep. Yeah.
And we've established a long time ago that we're not letting any of them in. So what the hell? And is this not cultural appropriation as well?
I don't know. Is it? How so?
I would think it is. If you're, a non-First Nations person participating in the ceremony without understanding the meaning and all that stuff behind it, if you're just throwing it into the schools and, oh, that sounds like fun. Like, that doesn't really teach anything.
Well,
I mean, I suppose it does. It teaches a ritual, but it doesn't really teach.
Well, first you'd have to actually show me that cultural appropriation is bad.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I'm bringing up an argument tossed out there all the time for the sake of making a point here, right?
Yeah. It's allowing – well, we already have – prayer in public schools is allowed in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario.
Yeah.
I think it's that
not,
should be.
Well, I guess out. It is done. Not here, basically, I'd say.
Yeah, it's not that many schools do that, because I don't think they do. But it does happen.
I mean, rural areas, maybe. I don't think.
Yeah, especially get away with Alberta.
Here, nowhere.
Yeah, Alberta. Alberta but is.
Calgary, no.
Calgary, no. Not in the public system, no. I would be really surprised. But they're allowed to do it in the provincial constitution. However, which, by the way, was put there and on the insistence from Ontario.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't. Huh. It wasn't our idea. Well, it wasn't Alberta's idea.
Wow. Okay.
And now everybody's trying to get rid of it. But we shouldn't be in the business of accommodating any religion. Because, like you say, if you do it for one, you're going to have to do it for all.
Well, I don't mind accommodating, but actually...
I don't even want accommodation.
Well, I hear you. I mean, I kind of agree, but if people want to, pray on their own dime and their own time, and it's not costing anybody, what's that saying? It costs me neither a penny for my pocket or whatever, right? I'm sorry, I can't remember who said that. You know what I'm talking to.
Yeah, I think I know the quote.
If it doesn't bother anybody, just let them do it. But if you're holding, special accommodations.
No, I still have a problem because it's the principle. Okay, I mean, it's like people saying that about birth control. If some doctor is working in a walk-in clinic, refuses to provide or to prescribe birth control.
Yeah,
they could just go to the next to another walk-in. Well, that may be true, but it's the principle. It's not ethics are supposed to be about principles, not ease of getting around it.
I know, but if the guy were to, or the physician in question were to prescribe the, thing and start praying for you or something, or go behind the counter and, often his own or her own prayer thing, then I don't give a shit. I've got my prescription. If you want to be a wing nut, right? That's kind of the same thing I think about, if you're going to do it and it's not on the taxpayer's dime and it's on your time on the school premises, okay, Now, building rooms and all that kind of stuff for prayer, no.
Yeah, I just don't want any school associated with any religion. because it becomes exclusionary. It's a form of segregation. I mean, kids know that.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew that. It was funny. It was because when I was in elementary school, we'd have these special things around Halloween where we'd have pumpkin tarts instead of pumpkin pie, tarts. You know, but Jehovah's Witness children couldn't participate in something as simple as that. It's like,
yeah, true enough. Yeah.
I don't know. That was how to feel awkward.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
And seriously, yeah, Halloween.
There was a JW in my elementary school, and she just wasn't allowed to do anything. I just felt so bad for her.
I no kidding. What a.
Yeah.
Why would you want to be in a religion like that where you get nothing? Not Christmas, not Halloween, not. I don't know about Thanksgiving. Maybe they don't even do that. I always thought that was like, I'm glad I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. And there's other really good reasons not to, because you're an apostate. You are screwed. They're one of the shunning religions, right?
Okay.
So you don't even acknowledge their existence if you become a non-believer.
Yeah. That poor kid. I mean, it's just like grade 4, grade 5, and you kind of wonder what the outcome was for somebody like that, huh?
Nah.
Having been exposed to it by going to public schools, right?
Yeah, well, so what?
And feeling that, pain of, everybody else is having a Slurpee and I can't have one or whatever, right? You know?
Oh, yeah, like a Mormon. You're thinking more Mormon. Because Mormons can't have.
Right, actually, yeah. Come to think of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's, can't do caffeinated drinks. And I'm like, how the hell do you get up in the morning if you're a Mormon? I cannot fathom that. I'm like, God, I'm dying for a coffee when I get up. It's the first thing I go for.
Right.
Yeah, it's something else. What else have I got anything else here?
What's this?
Okay, that's the more on that. That's a smudging ceremony. They said that it made First Nations children more feel better about going to school, but I don't care. It's not the purpose. The purpose of school is learning. It's not to accommodate your religion.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what the line is there, but I don't think tax dollars should go toward it, and I don't think it should be done on school time.
Well, then if it's not done on school time, then it's not done at school at all.
Well, if they want to come in 15 minutes early and somebody wants to lead it that's not salaried for it on the taxpayer's budget, how about it?
It just makes me – I just feel that that's the thin edge of the wedge. What's that?
It makes me squirm too, but...
Yeah, it's the thin edge of the wedge. That's the problem, right? That's why I'm an absolutist about this.
Well, tax dollars in terms of, salaries and time or whatever should not be put toward that. Other than that, whatever.
It's still public property. It's still public property, though. You know, it...
Yeah.
I don't like it.
But,
no, sir.
Well, I mean... When I was a kid, we would have piano. There'd be, I don't know, you could go in there, say, as a piano instructor and say, hey, can I borrow some classroom time after hours and instruct a course on playing piano? And, so the kids that were interested would sign up and otherwise they'd just go home, right? No big deal. It was not taxpayer funded. It was just the school staying open a little bit longer. Not a big deal, I think, mm-hmm. Right? And there was like a Bible reading thing and all kinds of stuff like that, hey? And it was just...
You voted against that essentially because of broader...
Sorry, go ahead. That's my bad.
Essentially, third-party course deliverers of whatever stripe were just... They pay their money to rent the space and, they do their thing. So if you didn't want your kid to be in it, you wouldn't, sign them up. And it was, not free either. Piano lessons weren't free, but they were cheaper than, going to your private instructor.
Mm. Okay, somebody phone. Phone number is is on the screen. I'll put it up in big print. There we go.
Two watching on Facebook.
Two watching. Yeah, okay. One of you phone.
Oh, okay. Beach says I could see this in a cultural awareness week or something. Yeah, that's fair.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
There, that's staying up until somebody phones. Toll free 1-587-288-1067, or you can Skype to the Legion of Reason. Legion of Reason, one word. No the. Love to get a phone call, because it'd be the first, and we could test this thing out.
I know, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
We need more listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody loves us.
Proselytize away. Spread us far and wide. We would love to get some phone calls.
Yeah, for sure.
Just saying. Phone. Subliminal phone.
The what phone?
Subliminal phone.
Oh. Can you hear the dog scratching at the door? And did you hear barking earlier?
I heard barking earlier, but
Yeah.
So what have we got? Your contacts. Not have been very active. Yeah, no kidding. Contacts have not been very active lately. Somebody phone. I'd phone myself, but my phone's upstairs. I think it's just, it'd be kind of cool. Hopefully we can get some phone calls next week, because we're going to have a guest who is an atheist, I shouldn't say anti-choice. I'll be nice.
Pro-life. She's
pro-life.
Should be interesting. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I've seen the arguments. I'm not really convinced. But
Christine, and I don't dare try to pronounce her last name, even though it was said to me.
Yeah, she's going to. She'll be on next Sunday night at 8. And anybody who is in Saskatoon, I will be there at the University of Saskatchewan somewhere. I got to find out where this thing is, because I'm one of the panelists. There's an interfaith panelist thing, which is kind of funny for an atheist to be on.
I've done a couple of them. It's kind of fun.
It's kind of a debate-ish kind of format. And
just like you're addressing the audience in terms of what you think of,
I spent the day working on,
and blah, 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 right?
Yeah. I spent the day working on where, we always get that question, where do we get our morals from if we don't believe in God?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're kidding, right? There's a whole huge area of philosophy called normative ethics. And God doesn't appear in there. So
I think if you were honest about your religion, it's the degree to which it's been secularized that makes it tolerable to the rest of society. Right?
Oh, I totally agree with that. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah. Because we don't this is one of the points I make, is that anybody in the I'm going to ask in the audience how many people are Christian and how many people are Muslim. And I'm saying, how many of you, those who put their hand up, have gay friends?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, what is your holy book tell you to do? And so basically I'm trying to get people to see that they're not taking their morality from their holy scriptures. They are bringing theirs to it and ignoring the stuff that they disagree with. They're already doing
exactly.
The scary people are the ones that take their holy scripture seriously. And you see that in places like Pakistan and Saudi Arabia.
The U.S. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, most of them don't take theirs seriously. How many people actually believe that apostates should be killed in Islamic countries? And it's overwhelmingly in support of the state killing apostates in places like Pakistan. And yeesh.
Yeah.
That's frightening. The good news is that the ones that have emigrated to Canada or the United States or the West in general. They're not like that. I wouldn't say, well, I don't know. Places like...
I'm sure the odd one slips through.
Because yeah, well, the places like Netherlands...
Check-in process is pretty... Pardon me?
Yeah, as Canada's is pretty stringent. We're, if yeah. We don't, yeah. But in
but any... But for the most part, these are people that are fleeing those conditions, not wanting to bring them here.
Yeah. And they've had a lot of problems in places where they've been, well, you know, open doors. Like yeah. Germany has had a lot of problems with the Muslim community. Because, yeah. You know, like the whole grooming, well, Britain, grooming gangs. They're almost all Islamic. Majid Nawaz talks about them. And it's great because he talks about things that as a non-Muslim, we would be dismissed for talking about.
Exactly.
Which is a pure ad hominem.
Like Sam Harris is, essentially, right? You
know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have a lot of problems in Britain as well. And a lot of this has to do with the EU's rather, less than selective process for immigration. We're not talking about refugees. Yeah. We're talking about, there was the Edmonton attacker, I can't remember his name, I know he's Somali. He was sent, he was deported, well not deported, but he was refused refugee status in the U.S. And then he ended up in Canada. I'd like to know how that happened. And I think a lot of people would like to know how that happened. Because we do have a very stringent selection process. It's very hard to become a Canadian.
That's true. Yeah.
All the people that wanted to become a Canadian after Donald Trump got elected found out.
I think that was a bit of an eye opener for those poor Americans, right? Like, no, you can't come in.
You can't just come here and move here and get Canadian citizenship. It's not that easy. It's very difficult.
Well, that Nova Scotia campaign was kind of cute, and probably
that was funny. You know. Yeah. It got a lot of interest.
I mean, there are certain areas where they do need more economic stimulation. And if you were to come in here and, you know, like provide jobs in those regions that need more populations, it's just that there's probably not that many in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Like for the most part, I think, you know, that a lot of people are lacking jobs, but that particular region, I'm sure they do want to bring people in.
Well, Alberta is not doing that well.
No. What's up?
Alberta is not doing that well right now. I mean, it's still recovering from the... Yeah, the economic downturn.
So I'm sure we would not be inviting people that might potentially take Albertans' jobs here. Let's put it that way. You know?
More mouths to feed. We don't need more mouths to feed.
Come up here and steal our jobs.
Sounding, Trump. Yes. There's the dog. Arf, arf.
Yes, puppy. Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry? No one's calling. You guys got a call. Got a call. Got a phone.
You have
a phone? Somebody's got a phone. yes, that phone number again, 1-587-288-1097. We really would like to get a call.
I'll post it.
God damn it, call! Time to go to bed.
Good night.
Time to go to bed.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Legion of Reason Diversion coming to you from Alberta, Canada. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to our bi-weekly podcast on iTunes and other podcatchers. Even better, subscribe to our YouTube live sessions where you can join in on the discussion. Thanks for giving us a listen. Music and other sound effects under license from audioblocks.com.